William Morrow and Harper Audio present The Hurricane Wars, a novel by Thea Guanzon, performed by Jean Sakia. I did this for the rats. Prologue. He heard the girl before he saw her, a high and golden hum that cut through the chaos of battle like the first flare of sunrise. Sheets of floating ice seesawed and creaked under his boots as he ran across the frozen lake, making his way toward the sound. It beckoned to him amidst the other noises piercing the winter air. The screaming, the rattle of crossbows, the roar of cannons, all from the burning city that lay behind the ancient forest at the water's edge. The fanned gaps between the longleaf pines offered glimpses of destruction in veins of red-gold embers, their needle-pricked canopy silhouetted against a crown of smoke beneath the seven moons. There was smoke out here on the ice as well, but it was the smoke of aether space, not inferno. Shadow bloomed over frost in shivering rings, trapping everyone trying to escape the city. Everyone, except him and his legionnaires. With a wave of his gauntleted hand, each dark barrier parted before him, until, finally, there she was. Loose strands of bedraggled chestnut hair streamed in the montane wind, escaping her braid to frame an oval face with freckled, olive-skinned features. She was coltish on the bobbing ice, light blazing in her hands against the swirling darkness, the twitching body of one of his men crumpled at her feet. He hurtled forward, a weapon of his own blocking what would have been her killing blow to his erstwhile legionnaire. And as she staggered back, her eyes met his, her magic reflected in shards of gold setting fire to brown irises. And perhaps this, too, was how a war began. In the space between heartbeats. In the room of night. He lunged at her. Part 1. Chapter 1. Wartime weddings were all the rage in a land where every single day threatened, quite emphatically, to be one's last, but the skies could rain stones for 7 nights without ever hitting an available officiant. Most clerics were at the front lines, singing to Sardovian troops of Mahagir the Saber Heart's courage and guiding the souls of dying soldiers to the eternal twilight of Adipa the Harvester's willow groves. By some rare stroke of good fortune, however, there was one cleric remaining in the mountain city of Frostplum, where Taliesin's regiment was stationed, and where her fellow helmsmen Kata and Sol had decided to pledge their troth. Not that it's any great mystery as to why they left this grandfather behind, Taliesin mused, watching from a dim corner of the thatched longhouse as the stooped, elderly cleric in pale yellow robes struggled to lift a large pewter goblet over the crackling fire that was reflecting off his marble ball scalp. In reed-thin and quavering tones, he meandered haphazardly through the closing words of the marriage rite, while the bride glared at him. Kata had a glare that could cut through metal glass. It was a miracle that the frail little man wasn't sliced into ribbons on the spot. He eventually managed to hold the smoke-warmed goblet to the groom's lips and then to Kata's, so that the couple could drink of the golden lychee wine consecrated to Thonba, goddess of home and hearth. From where she hung back at the edge of the crowd, Taliesin applauded along with the other soldiers when the cleric tremulously pronounced Kata and Sol bonded for life. Sol flashed a shy grin, one that Kata was quick to press her lips against, her ire at the bumbling official.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?